Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast.
Well, we're back. A couple episodes ago, we talked about this concept of the addict versus God. How do you be in addiction and reconcile that with having a relationship with God while you're struggling in your addiction and trying to be in recovery? So yes. We talked about that on that episode. And then last week, we talked about being the spouse of somebody that suffers from a pornography or sexual addiction and how to be in that the immediacy and intensity of that betrayal trauma and how to let go and let God while you're in that place. And this week we're going to talk about how to be involved in difficulties and trial and chaos as a couple and how to partner with God as a couple in all of this challenge. And we're calling it pulling out a chair for God at your marriage table. So, yeah, here we go. Let's talk about that.
Love it.
You know, you and I have talked a lot about the fact that in our own recoveries, in our marriage relationships, it became so critical for us to learn how to and to be willing to invite God into our marriage relationship and marriage efforts, right?
Yeah.
This partnership, so to speak, so that we're not alone, so that we don't have to go at it, you know, just me and her or me and him. And when you invite God, man, it takes on a whole different perspective and power and enabling and just all of these things that when it was just the two of you by yourselves, it's so hard. But as soon as you invite God into the equation, everything changes.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about that, but there is a lot that gets in the way of us being willing and able to do that, to really do it. We're going to talk about some of those barriers for the first part of this. But I know for me, for years and years, yeah, I could have told you intellectually what it meant to invite God into my marriage. And for me, in my belief system, specifically to invite Jesus Christ. But for a lot of that time, it was more, what do I want to say? It was more kind of out of a manual. It was more I'm going to invite God into our marriage and here are the check boxes. Here are the, you know, the doctrinal things that you sort of repeat, like almost like a rote robotic thing.
Absolutely.
But getting to the place where I actually invited God, like the real God, at an intimate, raw, vulnerable, he's right here with us level, that took a long time. You know, so let's talk a little bit about why it can be tough when you're struggling in your marriage to invite God to pull up a chair to your table.
Yeah, well, and I love the title that we came up with this we came up for the podcast, Mark, because I think it really, right out the gate, hopefully it's sending a message to people about kind of the tone that we're going to take with this podcast. There's going to be a lot that we talk about that I'm sure some of which will resonate with many of you, some of which might resonate a little less. And some of you just might find us downright blasphemous, and that's okay. we're here to share a mix of, you know, the best in clinical training and recovery experience, and so that's kind of where we're going to go with it today. Because I think for me, the thing that usually that was probably the biggest beginning barrier with God was this idea that the concept of having God have a seat at the table. And it's weird because I'd always been taught this, right? That was a doctrinally, quote unquote, correct idea. But I had no clue how to do that, because up until I got into recovery, if I'm being really honest, far too much of my connection with God was already kind of half watered down right out the gate. In large measure because of this attitude of what I thought, you know, quote unquote, praying or communicating with God or whatever it was would look like. And for me, it was almost just, you know, I'd sit down in such a way with this limited knowledge of how God worked in my life and his characteristics and my shame and everything else. And right out the chute, it was like trying to pray to somebody, you know, 10,000 miles away through a bullhorn. Like there was just a lack of intimacy in that relationship. I'm just kind of throwing what I've got out into the ether and hoping that something returns. And this idea of pulling a chair for God at the marriage table, I picture this visual, right? Me and my spouse, or you and your spouse, sitting down with God talking to us in real time, right? Mm. Actively dialoguing, having a say in where this thing goes, what it does. Rather than God just being for me, when I first got into recovery, before I really got into it, God was more just kind of a resource. He was like a bank account that I would tap when I needed funding, as opposed to like an active, interactive partner in life. And that's why I think the last couple of weeks have been so important to building to this conversation today, because whatever you do in those individual relationships with God will completely bleed down into the marriage relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, as you talk about that, the thing that was important for me to understand, and I know this is with all my clients that I work with, we have to understand that when we start to talk about inviting God, you know, or Christ to come and have a chair at our marriage table, When we attempt to do that, we bring all of our past baggage with us.
Yes.
And so for me, there was a lot of addiction baggage, for example. So if you're asking me to invite Christ in a raw, vulnerable, and open way to come and participate with me in what I'm trying to do in my marriage, well, I'm an addict. And so I don't feel worthy to invite him to do that. I feel like I have to earn the right for him to come and help out, right? I have to, in order to reach that bar, certain things have to happen first. So I bring all that with me, that shame, that unworthiness. So that comes into the picture and is a big wall or barrier. And for the spouses I've worked with, and you know, and for my wife, they suffer from this horrible betrayal trauma. Yes. And there's very legitimately some feelings sometimes of anger towards God. You know, how did you let this happen? Why did you inspire me to marry this guy? How come it all fell apart? There's, you know, some resentments, some inadequacies. There's just all this emotional stuff. And we're saying, well, just open your hearts and your minds to this raw and real and personal God and just invite him right there to your table. It's easy. Just do it.
Yeah.
Except there's a lot of stuff that prevents us from really embracing that at a really full and raw and personal level. And that's normal. It's okay to realize that this is an evolving process that takes time, because you got to wade through that stuff and start to kind of clear it out of the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. I mean, as you're sitting there talking, you know, we're talking about God having a seat at the marriage table. Before we can make this thing a marriage table, maybe we need to clear that off first and have this be some sort of a negotiating or resolution table, right?
Yeah.
Where we're able to really bring that baggage, because it's interesting how we do this in relationships with anybody, right? Be it our intimate relationships with partners or family, but also with our higher power, whatever that looks like for anybody. When I would sit down with God, you know, again, pre kind of how I do things now, I would say, hey, I want to have a close relationship with you, but I am going to give you a very limited view into what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what I'm needing.
Mm.
Right? So take a role in my life, be an active partner with 10% of the information. Now, I'm a big believer that God knows all things. And so it's not an actual knowledge base, but what I'm doing is I'm trying to approach God, and we do this again with partners as well, is I'm trying to approach God and say, hey, I want this level of intimacy, right? I want a 9 out of 10 level of intimacy, but here I'm going to deliver 2 out of 10. So make it work.
Yeah. I want to be super close and raw and personal, but according to these requirements or restrictions or my rules, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the shoulds, you know, those get in the way. I was working with a couple not too long ago. We were talking about the process of allowing the marriage to evolve. A couple I've been working with some time. They've been married for many, many, many years. And I, at some point in the conversation, I said, you know, the best thing about this marriage is probably like what is the best thing about most marriages. You know each other better than anybody else. But then the negative side of this marriage, right, is you know each other better than you know anybody else.
Right.
And that, and too often, I think that happens again in marriages, but also in our relationship with God. We develop and we allow that to develop and evolve to a point. But for too many of us, because of other experiences or because we just get lazy with the process or whatever the case may be, maybe it's just a lack of understanding of how relationships work, we let it settle at a certain point and then not progress forward.
Yes.
And so a past knowledge of God, like for me, I was raised in a great faith tradition, which I'm still active in today. But that faith tradition has cut both ways for me in my history, right? On the one hand, it's given me a solid base on which to develop a relationship with God. But on the other hand, I've allowed the rigidity of that formulation to prevent that relationship from progressing and evolving into something bigger and greater. It's kept the relationship, it's chained the relationship down and kept it in many ways kind of in that, again, transactional place, right?
Yeah.
And so my past knowledge and experiences with God, even though on one hand they can give me a closeness, just like they can in a relationship, they can also be the thing that holds me back, just like in a marriage. Because this couple that I'm referencing as an example, that was their biggest barrier at that point, is they were so convinced that they knew how the other person was going to respond, you know, based on X or Y situation, because we've been married for decades and whatever, that there was no allowance for that person to do something different.
Right.
Right. And it's the same thing. And it's the same thing in this God relationship. If I've got an idea in my head about how God's always going to respond to a certain prayer or how I ask about something on a certain topic, even though my experience with that is valid from the past, that doesn't mean that it will be that way today for a variety of reasons.
Yes. In fact, you said something very interesting that I'm going to challenge, because what you said was correct, but then in another way, it's actually a false paradigm. So we know each other as husband and wife. We know each other better than anyone else.
Yeah.
But in some ways, we don't know each other at all.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because we've never taken the opportunity. We don't know how. We haven't dared to be courageous enough to be completely vulnerable and raw and open, right? Dare to connect.
Sure.
It hasn't been safe enough to do that. No one taught us the skills. We weren't modeled that by the people that raised us. So in many ways, we don't know each other.
Sure.
Because we've never gone to the depths in order to take off the masks or the protections or the facades or whatever to truly see each other, right? True intimacy. Into me you see, into you I see. like fully, like, wow, that's you. This is me.
Sure.
Getting to that place is not even remotely close to easy. So we have to be careful about making assumptions. Well, I really know you. So, you know, we have all these expectations and assumptions and that about our spouse or partner. Well, I know what he's going to say when I do this, or I know how she's going to react to that. Do you? And like you said, the same thing with God. Well, I know how he works and I know how this is going to turn out. And I know how I have to ask for that, or I need to use this language in my prayer, or, you know, or the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And are we willing to get outside the box? Are we willing to let go of an assumption that we already know everything, that everything just fits neatly into our past experience?
Absolutely. Well, you bring up a great point, you know, when we're looking at this idea of accessing God, right? Accessing Christ, like we talk about here as a Christian-oriented podcast. When we look at that paradigm, I know that probably one of the most common things that I hear from the individuals and couples that I meet with when we're talking about this is somewhere along the line, you know, culture got in the way, or experience has gotten in the way, or other things have happened to where, you know, God kind of becomes, going back to that distant figure, right? Not just distant in terms of, oh, he's a bank account or transactional, but also distant in terms of, you know, God's just like off somewhere, and once I do certain things, then I can access him. But until I do those things, then I can't, right? Like the example that I'd give is, it's like God is Six Flags, right? And if I go to Six Flags, every stupid ride has what? The stupid little bear, whatever the crap they've got there, you know, holding his little hand up saying, you know, you must be this tall to ride the ride, you know, that kind of thing. As though there's some prerequisite for approaching God. Now, I'm a big believer, and I know many of our listeners are, in the concept of, you know, when we're doing good, when we're trying to follow God's example and what he's asking us to do, that we'll receive blessings. But I'm also a big believer that somewhere along the lines, too many of us kind of develop this paradigm that, yeah, God loves me and he cares about me and he's there and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, until I'm hitting that certain mark or that certain bar, he won't really help me.
Yeah. Right?
I've got to be performing at a certain level. I've got to be doing something at a certain level. And I got to tell you, the thing that I have learned in my experience, strength, and hope in the recovery process is that God, my Savior, all of the above, whatever you want to fill that blank in with, have the capacity to meet me where I'm at today, now. And they have the same ability to do it in my marriage today, now, in its broken, imperfect state. I think that the God that I believe in, while he lovingly is going to push and encourage me to a higher level, right, to the next level, to level up the marriage, to level up my relationship with him, that doesn't in any way diminish his ability to help me, to love me, to accept me today.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. And in fact, prior to the podcast, you and I talked about, well, how do we help couples really start to invite God into the relationship? How do you model that? How do you do that?
Yeah.
And you and I talked about the fact that we have the perfect model of how to do that in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Mm. As we look at how he interacted with those around him, I love this concept you're describing, as he met people where they were. Yes, he wanted to elevate and invite them to elevate and come to a higher level, but he didn't sit up on some big high pedestal waiting for them to come to him.
Yes.
He went to them. In fact, he went and got down into the nasty wallowing around, you know, muck with you know, what were considered the lowliest people in the society. And that's where he spent his time. And he got down with them and sat in the dirt with them and was with them. And that's so as I look at that model, I think, wow, that's the model for our marriages. Yeah, yes. It's messy. Things aren't going well. We're not the ideal model of this religious couple. Things are pretty crappy right now. So can God help us? Can we invite God into this horribly imperfect situation and relationship? Well, yeah. If you go and look at the ministry of Christ, the answer to that has to be absolutely.
Yeah.
That's who he preferred to be with because they needed the most help. And so he is awesome at getting in the trenches with you and me, and especially in our marriage relationship. And so to me, what it boiled down to me was I willing to allow him in? Or was I going to keep putting up all these walls and these barriers? Or was I willing to just say, you know what, Lord, this is messy. I'm screwing up all the time. I don't know if this is going to work out or if we're even going to stay together, but you know what? Come on in and get down into the mud with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need you and I'm inviting you.
Yeah. Well, and what you're referring to is on a triad level with, you know, you, your spouse, and God is doing a concept of what we've talked about before, right? If real, true physical intimacy involves getting completely naked physically with another, right? Then real, true, emotional and spiritual intimacy, I would submit, requires the same thing. And far too often, I think we're all trying to you know, collaborate with God on that intimate level while trying to keep half our clothes on. And you have to be, right? And you have to, see, this is where the people are going to think Steve's blaspheming now. So gospel according to Steve. But yeah, there's that, we have to be willing to meet with that complete vulnerability. I guess just with complete abandon, like you're describing, right? The times where I have connected God emotionally the most, I think I've shared this on this podcast before. One of the most connecting experiences that I ever had with God was when I told him to go screw himself on all the reasons why I thought that was the case. And it's not because, obviously, that was not a positive conversation.
Yeah.
But it was a positive in the fact that that was probably the first time, that was kind of the low point preceding recovery for me. That was probably the first time I'd been real with God in well over a decade.
Yeah.
Just really... All feelings, all notions bared. I can't stand the way I feel like you've treated me. I feel like you don't care about me. I have no place with you. I'm not wanted. I'm not loved. I'll never be taken care of, right? But I think that right there is again, that's where some of that doctrinal stuff can sometimes get in the way. Because I think, and I know you and I talked about this before, you know, I'm a big believer that God's a big boy and has the ability to put big boy pants on and can hear hard things. I don't think he needs a filtered version of me. I don't think he wants a filtered version of me.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants a filtered version of my marriage. If he's going to have a seat at the table, then I've got to really, you know, if he's going to be a partner in this business, then we've got to open up all the books to him and say, look, here are the real assets and here are the real deficits. And we are doing really well in some ways and we suck at these other ways, and we need change.
Hey, everybody, Mark and Steve here. Are you looking to take your recovery and your marriage to the next level?
We work with individuals and couples one-on-one.
With both in-person and online therapy options, you have access to the experts anytime, anywhere.
To learn more, visit us at pbscpodcast.com.
Yeah, just this concept that we bring from our religious culture, that there are things that are taboo.
Yes.
Well, you can't say that, or you can't say that way. You know, and make sure that you use the proper, for example, prayer vocabulary or prayer dialogue or prayer structure. You know, I had a client, you know, a while back where, you know, we were working on his relationship with God, his true spiritual intimacy. And I asked him, so tell me about your conversations with God. And he outlined this linear check the boxes way that you pray. Well, you start like this, then you ask, then you say this, then you ask this, then you close this way. And it was keeping him from having this close, intimate, open, vulnerable relationship because it was all about the formalities.
Yeah.
And I had to really work with him to start to let go of that. And like you're saying, we put all kinds of restrictions and, you know, invisible barriers on all of this. And that's not, you know, we want to invite God or Christ to come to the real table. You know, yeah. I mean, so just a little image came to my mind. So I'm going to invite God to our marriage table, but hold on. He's knocking at the door. Wait, just keep him there. Okay, let's get the beautiful tablecloth. Let's get all of our best china on that table. You know, the candles and everything is absolutely immaculately perfect. Okay, now invite him to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, that's how we approach this relationship with him, where it's like, you know what? The table's scratched, the paint's peeling off, right? There's dirty dishes on it. It's a complete, utter mess.
Sure.
I can't invite him to that table. No, that's the table that is, and that's the one he wants to come and be a part of.
Well, and to kind of carry that analogy forward, God isn't just comfortable being a customer at the table or a patron or a partner. I think he's equally comfortable if we allow him to become the janitor, the busboy, the dishwasher, right? The people that, you know, that help to clear that table out, right? that we buy into this notion, like you said, right? Where, you know, it's got to be some sort of perfectly laid out spread. But the thing of it is God can be part of the cleaning staff.
I love that. Yeah.
Just as much as he can be a partner at the table.
And Jesus showed that during his ministry.
Yeah.
He literally was filled all of those roles that you just said. You know, he got down and was with the people at whatever level they were at, and he filled all those roles, right? Servant, janitor, cleanup guy. I mean, of course, you know, remarkable teacher and mentor, all of those things. The way I picture him, he was like, whatever you need, I will step into that role. Whatever is truly, truly needed for you in your extremity, in your suffering, in your challenge, I am that for you.
Yeah.
So call upon me. Be willing to let me in. You know, and we talked about, you know, if we're going to talk to people about, so what do we do with all this? You know, you and I always try to get back to the practical. And so for an exercise or a solution or a direct application of this, we talked about this concept of couples engaging together in conversations with God.
Yeah.
How do you do that? And so we wanted to kind of outline for everybody our experience with that and how we've invited other couples we've worked with to do this. So let me preface this by saying this is one of the most uncomfortable, awkward, embarrassing, ridiculous things I've ever attempted to do. And I've practiced it for many years, my wife and I have, and I still have times where I'm awkward. And I'm like, I can't believe that I'm saying this. And so what this is it's really an opportunity for a couple to come together, and it can be different for everyone. It can be kneeling together, holding hands. It can be sitting on a couch together. It could be sitting in the car. It could be, you know, on a mountaintop. I don't know where it is. So please don't assume that we're saying there's all these formalities, but it's just you coming together as a couple and trying to be as vulnerable and open and raw as you can as you then have a conversation with God together. So the way my wife and I do it is we actually kneel down together, we hold hands, and one of us is the voice, so to speak. Now, the way we determine that is we think of what the date is. So I'm Odd Mark, and she's Even LaDawn.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate, yeah. So if it's an odd date, it's me. If it's even, it's her. And what we do is, and this is where the awkward, embarrassing part has come for me. See, I have had trouble my whole life actually having a really honest, vulnerable, raw conversation with God by myself. And now I'm suggesting that I would have that kind of conversation out loud with my wife next to me.
Mm.
Like, are you kidding me? And it was like terribly awkward for the first number of years.
Yes.
But to just pray from my heart, to just talk vulnerably and openly with God. But here comes the part that really invites him to come to the table of the marriage. We started to dare to take this vulnerable place of actually praying openly to him about our spouse. So me starting to literally in a raw conversation, thank God for my wife. Talk to him about why I appreciate her so much openly while she's listening. To talk to him about the ways that I've been screwing up with her and to forgive me for that and help me do better.
Gosh, that feels awkward.
I know, right? Even talking about it, you're like, ooh, that is just not comfortable.
Well, I'm just thinking about my own experience. It's exactly the same. It's just like, oh my gosh. It's just, where does that come from? I mean, I think it's good to talk about that.
Well, yeah, where does that come from?
I mean, I think for me, just speaking for me, it's probably like some still like lingering tattered remnants of shame from the addiction days. Almost kind of like we were talking about before, like, who are you to be praying for that amazing woman? Like, that lady can pray for herself. You're just screwing the process up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's part of it. And I know another part for me was just kind of this macho man thing where you just don't express feelings this deeply in front of people. That's just not done.
Yeah.
Right. I certainly had no father figures in my life that did that. It was stoic and, you know, the macho exterior. And, you know, you just didn't get that raw and emotionally vulnerable and especially vocally and sitting right next to somebody. It's like, right? Just very awkward. So that's taken a lot of practice on my part. You know, it came to my wife much more naturally. She was not nearly as awkward as I was. She was able to do it more openly, much better. But I still have to practice it to this day because there's some times where I'll be in the midst of doing it and some little thing inside of me will say, what are you doing? You can't say that. That's way too vulnerable and open and wimpy and emotional and stupid. And sometimes I'll get up from the prayer and I'll just feel really sheepish. Mm. Like there's just like this energy that comes over me like that was really embarrassing. And that's where you have to push through and just be willing to do it anyway, even though your ego or your past or your taboos or religious boundaries are screaming at you, you just push through and do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's part of real intimacy. It's risky. It doesn't feel right sometimes.
Yeah. And if I was to build off of that, I think that there are lots of ways in which, I mean, I think the main theme here is be daring to open up your mind, to expand your thinking to, you know, what could this relationship be, right? Mm-hmm. There are likely many things that you do about communicating with God individually and as a couple that probably work really well. But what ways can you still grow, right? And what ways can this evolve more? Being willing to try other new things, like Mark kind of indicated, right? Maybe a different scene or a different, you know, approach in terms of language. You got those who have listened to the podcast have heard my bit on that. I am not a these thou's line kind of a guy. Something just happens weird in my brain when I go there and I turn into, I don't know, addict on the outside or addict on the inside, perfect Christian guy on the outside kind of mentality. When I do that, it becomes kind of for other people. And so I have to let go of that. Right. But it also means, you know, even just how do you want to mix up or change that communication process or that prayer, whatever you're referencing it out as. I encourage my clients, for example, all the time individually to write out a prayer before you give it. Mm. There's research that backs up that you access different parts of the brain when you do that, right? Why not try that as a couple? What if you were to sit down and write out a prayer together before giving it? Now I know some people's main concern with that would be, well, you're writing it out. It's not going to be sincere. I would argue the exact opposite. Me trying to give a prayer and to approach my higher power on the fly is going to be far less sincere than something that's been thought out and mapped out and, you know, kind of laid there.
No, I love that, right? I mean, sitting down and just sincerely, rawly, you know, expressing your deepest heart in writing, something that you would never be able to do on the fly because you can't come up with those things just right there. Plus sure. The embarrassment, the awkwardness, the resistance. So write it out so that all you have to do, the only pressure you have is you're kneeling there or standing there, or sitting there in prayer, is just to read it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to remove a lot of barriers and walls until you start to get better at it. It gives you a chance to practice with low pressure.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, absolutely. Well, and I think there's just this whole concept really comes back to, you know, being willing to really collaborate with God. You know, in any 12-step program, this is kind of a main premise. And there's a reason why the 12 steps are so effective. Many reasons, but this is one of them, I believe. Because 12-step encourages me to plan out a direction, but continually growing a deeper willingness to deviate from it. If inspired or directed to do so.
Yes.
Still having a plan for my life, still having a plan for my marriage, still having a plan for my job or my practice or this podcast or whatever the case may be. I mean, we do this every morning when we produce this podcast. We set out with an initial thought about what we're going to do. And just for you listeners out there, we probably end up doing what we say we're going to do 25% of the time, probably on average. It definitely happens, but other times we'll get, you know, through production and by the end it's something completely different than what we thought it was.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the great benefits of couples being willing to do what we're describing. As you come together in this communication with God and you talk to him about each other on behalf of each other, you start to get really courageous in your expressions and communications. What you'll find is that increase in spirituality, spiritual intimacy between the two of you and God, you'll find that spills over into your marriage outside of that conversation. So for example, I found as I've done that over the years, I'll be standing in the kitchen and my wife's there and some little impression will come to me. Hey, tell your wife how much you appreciate X. And I'll get the little insight and I've learned to just blurt it out. Mm-hmm. Hey, sweetheart, that thing you said earlier, that was so smart. Like, how did you come up with that? And I'll just say it because I have an impression to do so. And so I find that you get this kind of spiritual sensitivity. You're getting outside your paradigm, your box, your regular way of doing things, your ego, how you were raised and modeled as a kid. And you start to be open to these crazy little ideas and impressions and insights. Mm-hmm. And then because you've been courageous in your conversation or intimate prayer together, you actually dare to do what the little insight tells you in the moment.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm getting this little insight. I'm just going to do it. You know, you walk over and you take your wife and you lower her down in the, you know, the Hollywood, you know, kind of bend her over and kiss her passionately just out of the blue for no reason whatsoever.
Please make sure that your marriage is in a safe place to do this. That's the caveat.
Be sure you're in a safe enough place to do this.
Don't try this if you're in the middle of like a really rough spot. But just throwing that out.
That's the disclaimer. It is true. But just being open to things that you never would have tried. Healthy things. Inspired things. Evolved things. Courageous things.
Yes.
I just find that, you know, daring to go to this place in this conversation and prayer as a couple with God will open you up to dare to do other things that might be outside, you know, the typical rut that you've been in or the typical way you've approached things. So it spills over and it starts to become this really inclusive, holistic kind of approach to marriage and life where God's at your table all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, and I, you know, whenever I think about this, the phrase that comes to mind for some reason is, you know, from Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, you know, it's that concept of come on in and know me better, man, right? Know me better. And I think that's the main kind of concept that we're trying to convey today is your spiritual relationship, whatever that's looked like, has carried you to where you are today in your marriage, individually, all of the above. But where else could it take you? If you were to allow that to evolve, if you were to come in and know him better, what would that be? what could it be? Because I can tell you the relationship that I have with my higher power is far above and beyond. And I've got still much growing to do, but it's far above and beyond what I ever comprehended when I was in my addiction days.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, I think God, I think Christ is always saying to us, I show you a better way. I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm here to show you a better way, mm-hmm. a more evolved way. But we get stuck in our old ways and our paradigms and what's possible and what's not possible, right? I could never say that to him. I could never do that with her. There's too much baggage in the past. We can never go to this place, right? All of these walls and resistances and things that can't be or won't be, or I refuse to let be, you know, because of what's gone on.
Yeah.
And I found, my wife and I found that that's just not true. There, you can grow through just about, in fact, you can grow through anything if you're in a partnership with God, if you're truly in that triad, in that three-way relationship, anything is possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I think that about covers it. And we're over time again. I know this is a big shocker for all of our listeners. So,
all right, everybody.
Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.
All right. See ya. That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. Together, we can do the impossible.
To learn more about Mark and Steve and to listen to more podcast episodes, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.